and welcome to Alchemy 101. Transformation, that's the name of the game. And here's where we aim to mine a few nuggets that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature. Even if at first things might seem a little bit contrary, like a nightingale, the bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, also known as the Practical Alchemist, and I'm delighted to have your company today as we go quite heavy on the nature theme, or gardening to be more precise. The Wonderful Society for Horticultural Therapy, or Thrive, is a charity that works to bring about positive changes in the lives of people living with disabilities or ill health, as well as people who are isolated, disadvantaged, or vulnerable. And I'm very excited to say that they've now brought out an app to support people. It's called Cultivating Wellbeing. Now, you may well ask why we might need a gardening app. I think it's a great idea, by the way. So Thrive's CEO, Ben Thomas, has joined me to tell us all about it. Gardening is such a healthy pursuit and something that I was introduced to at a very young age. It's something I'm always grateful for. I think I was about 3 or 4 years old when I planted my first packet of seeds, and I was hooked from that moment on. I'm pretty much sold on the idea that gardening is good for us mentally and physically, but I started off asking Ben to explain why that's the case.
Yeah, well, as you know, gardening's incredibly multifaceted. It's really great in the sense that it's physical activity. It gets you outside. It gets you moving in the fresh air and spending time in nature. And we know that physical activity and exercise is really great for both our physical and our mental health. But there's something quite unique, really, about gardening, isn't there? In the sense that it kind of gets you active, but it's not in the exercise box. It's not a gym, for some of us. Some people like spending time in the gym, but for others of us, getting outside, getting gardening, you get that physical activity without some of that other side of it. And gardening's great in the sense that it gets you into nature, and we know there's so much evidence that being in nature, spending time in nature, is so good for our mental health. It reduces our stress, it improves our sort of attention, and it can really boost our mood. But gardening's more than time in nature. It's kind of active. You're engaging with the nature, you're cultivating it, you're looking after it, you're participating in it. And it gives us this real sense of connection and engagement with the nature as well. So it's really good for us mentally, physically, and it's just really good for our health.
Yeah, because it's really it can be strenuous exercise in the garden. If you're doing a lot of digging or weeding or just humping around massive bags of compost, even maybe, just that sort of thing is really good for it. It's like a functional exercise. So we're not going to the gym to do just working on a treadmill, or we're literally getting into the garden and doing stuff that we need to use our muscles for. Now, we have to be careful, of course, and not do anything silly in the garden and not pull any muscles or do anything that's too hard for us. But it is a great way to exercise. I know that if I haven't been in a garden for a while and I start to do a little bit of weeding or just a few things, my muscles hurt by the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And like you say, we've all got to be careful. We've all got to know our own limits. We've got to know, what we're capable of, and not do overly kind of repetitive exercise, changing the activities, a little bit of pruning, a little bit of weeding, a bit of physical. And of course, just spending some time enjoying the garden as well. That kind of all the benefits of just spending time in it, enjoying the beauty, enjoying what you can see. And, there's so much to see and enjoy in gardens as well.
There really is. And there's that sense of achievement when you've planted a seed and it grows.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you get so much from that. I mean, it's really good, and you sort of see that for our mental health as well, because it gets us into a different state, into a sort of future orientation where, you can plant a seed and it gets us thinking about what's going to be, and that kind of, optimism, really, for something that's going to come in the future. And as you say, when you get that, when you see it, when the seed grows, and especially when it grows into a flower, it grows into a fruit or something that you can eat, you get that real sense of achievement, which can build into a sense of pride and self-satisfaction. And, you know, that can boost our mood and yeah, give us that encouragement as well to try new things and get moving. Yeah,
there's nothing quite like it, I don't think. And I was working on a veg plot with a friend of mine a few years back, and she hadn't really been a gardener, but she liked the idea of growing food. And I will never forget her excitement when what we planted started to really flourish. It was just so lovely to see, because I think part of her thought, well, I don't understand how this works. It's not going to happen. But then, you know, I kept saying to her, well, you put seeds in the ground and they'll grow or not grow. And most of the time they grow, because that's what seeds are meant to do.
Yeah. No, my granddad always used to say, plant four seeds. You know, in terms of the likelihood, you know, the crow might get one might rot, but you know, you do four and you've got a good chance that one of them's going to come through. And yeah, when you see those seeds grow, and you know, you get that fruit at the end of it. There's, you know, we do this flower show in the summer, and the clients, gardeners, you see the joy when they bring their produce, what they've grown, what they've chosen at the end of the year. And you just see that sense of, you know, pride and satisfaction and joy in producing something. You know, one of my gardeners, Nick, he produced this marrow last year, and I can still picture his face just sort of holding it. And just, you know, just that achievement it's fantastic. Yeah, really great to see.
It is fantastic. And you've just, you know, made me think of flower shows now. I'd completely forgotten about how wonderful they really are. You know, fruit and veg and flower shows, and people getting very competitive about growing the biggest, you know, marrows and cucumbers and, you know, the most perfect apples and that sort of stuff. And I think for a lot of people who don't garden, they just see it as a bit weird and a bit odd. However, I think once you get into gardening and you start to enjoy it, you really begin to understand where that comes from, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, I've never been one for competitions. I've never got into that. I mean, I have my own allotment, but haven't got into that side of it. But I know that you know people do really see it. And for our client gardeners, this is a great way for them to show off what they've done. And
it is
for us to celebrate their achievements, really, which is incredible.
It is. And we don't all have to have a garden like the ones you see at Chelsea Flower Show in London every year. You know, the Royal Horticultural Society might not be particularly impressed, but for heaven's sake, just growing something, just getting into the way of planting a few seeds, you know, maybe some seedlings that you've bought that have already got a start, planting them, watering them, watching them grow, and then picking the results if it's something that you can eat, or just the flowers if that's what you want. It is a beautiful thing, and it really gets you close to understanding seasons and the way that nature works, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's a growing body of evidence around what people refer to as nature connection, and understanding and having that connection with the natural environment and the positive benefits of that for our mental health. And we know in the UK at the minute, you know, around about one in six of us are struggling in terms of our mental health and experiencing challenges with our mental health. And, you know, we're not getting those benefits, you know, within the country. We know that people aren't, you know, there is a reduction in terms of connection with nature. People are, you know, not seeing that benefits, not connected with the world around them, and actually we're missing out because of that, and we're missing out of the joy and in the enjoyment of plants and gardens. And you know, that could for some of us, you know, really give that sort of boost and help us to with those challenges.
Absolutely. We're kind of known for our gardens in the UK, aren't we? We're known for growing lovely, you know, well, the archetypal English cottage garden, I think, is on every biscuit and cake tin, going back through the ages, through the decades. But you don't have to have, this is another thing to mention, I think, you don't have to have a big plot of land. You can garden in all sorts of different ways, can't you? I used to have a concreted over patio in London. It was south facing, which was a plus. And I grew everything in pots, terracotta pots. including some vegetables and herbs, a lot of herbs. And it was lovely. I love doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in a sense, you don't even necessarily need a garden to garden. You can garden in your own home. You can if you've got a balcony, you can garden on a balcony. And actually, sometimes, you know, gardening with pots is actually more achievable in a sense. And you could, you know, small plants like a courgette or something like that, you can even grow your own in a pot. So I think, you know, people don't need an expansive space. You that can almost be overwhelming sometimes, just starting with something smaller or a few house plants, because gets into that sense of engaging with the plants and looking after them. It's really good for you.
Yeah, and it really is a case of engaging with the plants and looking after them. So, I mean, you can just plant a few seeds and then leave them to it. However, tending for them, looking after them, making sure you water them, making sure maybe feeding them, and, you know, making sure that they don't have bugs all over them that eat them, like with cabbages. Obviously, I'm speaking from experience. You can hear that in my voice, can't you? You know, you want to make sure that if you're growing something to eat, you want to make sure that you're growing something that's going to be good to eat and that you're going to eat it, not the pests.
Yeah, well, there's definitely things that can go wrong in terms of pests and birds. But I mean, you know, I remember time back, I grew some strawberries, and you think, well, it's similar to the seeds, isn't it? You know, one might rot and, you know, another catch by a bird. Yeah. You know, you put the nets on, you put the straw down, you know, you add to things. And
yeah.
When you finally get that strawberry, you get that achievement, that sense that the taste is better, that, you know, you've got that sense, I grew this myself out of, you know, pretty much nothing. And you get a real boost from that. So it's great. Yeah.
And I always grow things organically. I don't like to put any kind of harsh chemicals or anything, even pesticides, on, so that, you know, we don't have to worry about any adverse effects from any chemicals that we put in the garden. Is that something that you suggest people do at Thrive?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's different ways in terms of depending on, you know, the types of plants, what people are looking at. And, you know, we've got different bits of advice on our website that people can check out as well.
Yeah.
And just going back to a point you were making just before, I think you're sort of talking about the plants and how actually it's not just leaving them to it, but there's a real sense of, you know, value in noticing. And I think that's sometimes missed from, you know, we lose in our society. We're down on our phones or we're on our screens. We're not noticing. And I think, you know, when we get outside, we look at the plants. When you know, I've stopped using my headphones when I go for a walk now, because notice the bird song. And, you know, so I tend to go out for a little walk at lunchtime, and I've started to pick my route based on, you know, people's front gardens, and I think, like, in a certain way that there's a family, some, you know, down the road, they've got a magnolia tree, and then, you know, there's somebody later on the walk, they've got cherry in blossom.
Oh, and, lovely.
You know, there's other people with camellias out at the minute, so I can kind of do my little walk at lunchtime, and I'm not even doing any gardening, but, you know, you're getting that benefit, and you're just noticing the world around us, noticing nature, and enjoying the gardens, enjoying the beauty of nature, and getting that kind of boost, you know.
Yeah, I agree, and in fact, I'm with you all the way on that. I went for a walk yesterday and noticed somebody's garden had a whole load of daffodils out, and I just thought, oh, how beautiful. And it really lifted me to see it, right? But it's not my garden, it's somebody else's, but it's beautiful to see. Yeah. Paying attention to what's going on around you, I think, is really important. And so when you are gardening and growing, it's not just the exercise, it's not just the getting out into nature, it's things like noticing the birds that are around. You talked about birds, so noticing that, you know, a robin might follow you around the garden if you're doing some digging, or, you know, planting out some seedlings or something like that, because they've made it their business over the many years to be friendly with humans, so that they can benefit from some of the worms that you might disturb when you're gardening. So, you know, it's just, you get to learn so much, don't you, about the natural world around you.
Yeah, absolutely, and it brings us in. It brings us into it. It helps us to feel part of it. And if in the ways that we garden, we can support nature. And the kind of way that we can develop plants so that they can produce more seed, or we can have flowers that are more suitable for pollinators, and so on. And we can do that in a way that that supports the natural environment around us. And private residential garden spaces, is the fourth largest use of land within the United Kingdom. And
Yeah.
so obviously with gardens, we can do an awful lot for nature as well. So it's doing us good, but it's also doing the natural environment good as well.
Exactly. And it's very easy these days to buy plants. Many garden centres, if you go into a garden centre for plants, I mean, many people who have allotments or who have gardens just give away plants that they have no room for, or they just have too many of them or whatever. But if you have to go to a garden centre, you'll see plants labeled as great for bees or great for butterflies, or people are now so aware, aren't they, at places like garden centres, that they will sell on the basis of, are you looking for pollinators? Are you looking for butterfly attractors? Are you looking for bee flowers? And there are a lot of those. So you can play an active part
Yes.
in supporting the natural environment. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and
Yeah.
us can play our part, in that. It's great.
Not just good for our health, then, but great for the planet too. Time to take a short break right now to listen to some messages from our station sponsors. But I'll be back with Ben Thomas from Thrive and more on cultivating well-being right after this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and my guest today, Ben Thomas, the CEO of Thrive, a charity that promotes well-being through horticulture. We've been talking about the many benefits gardening offers, not only to ourselves, but the planet too. Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, I was knee-high to a grasshopper when I was first introduced to gardening. I'd be given a couple of packets of seeds to sow every now and again, easy things like flowering annuals or salad crops like radishes and lettuces. I delighted in watching them grow, and then to enjoy eating the results, literally reaping what I'd sown, was so much fun. There was also so much to learn, like what could go wrong, and I'll never forget one incident in particular. And as I say, I think I told you when we spoke before about how when I was that age, I had a pet tortoise, and I grew my lettuces one year, and they were about an inch high, and I found him halfway down the row one day, having munched his way all the way along the row of lettuces. But even that, it's just a lovely thing. It's just great to understand at that age how, how animals eat and forage. It was brilliant. It's a memory I'll never ever lose.
No, I think that's absolutely right. And it for young people, for children, I mean, if parents, carers, grandparents, actually to be able to give children ownership over over a part of the garden, or over a pot, and to be able to choose to be able to choose some seeds or some flowers or something to grow, and to have that ownership, to care for it, to look after it, and then to see something that comes out of it at the other side is a real opportunity. Lots of my earliest memories of gardening are with my granddad, and he taught me little bits like sowing seeds, taking cuttings. We do cuttings from Christmas cacti, if
Oh,
there's
yeah.
nice easy one for little cuttings. But yeah, no, I remember working with him one day in my parents' garden, and taking out this bush, which was sort of it was an evergreen bush. It was really fairly boring. I thought it was sort of scratchy, prickly, kind of, it's not much fun. And I remember, we took out the bush, and he'd sowed these lupins from seed, and just, to grow, so tiny little seedlings that he'd grown them on, and kind of seen that whole process, and then to see them grow into these incredible flowers, big tall flowers, and just that was just, I just remember that being completely amazing. To these flowers, because they're just so, powerful in color and just stood out. And compared to the bush, I mean, I'm sure there are people out there that love their evergreen bushes. And that's fine. That's okay for you. But for me, these lupins, and to do that with my granddad, and that's a special memory that I'll always have with him. So.
Absolutely. I mean, I completely understand where you're coming from with that. And lupins are great. We don't see lupins as often as you used to these days, but they are a great plant. Yeah. So it's a fantastic activity, gardening, on so many levels, as we said. So now what you've done is brought out an app. So why do we need an app to help us with gardening? What's the app all about?
Yeah, well, I mean, as we've been talking about, we know that spending time in nature, spending time gardening is well evidenced to improve both our physical and emotional health. And we know that in our country, we are struggling in terms of, our health is on the decline as a country. And so we recognise that we know about the benefits of gardening, we know about how to, but actually, we want to help people to put those into practice. We want people to have the support that they need to be able to get gardening and to experience the benefits of that. And so a couple of years ago, we took some of our knowledge from our many years as a charity supporting people to garden and improve their health through it into a new information service on our website. And we developed lots of guides and activities and things that people could do. And one of the things that's been really great about that information has been developing condition-specific guides. So imagine somebody is experiencing sight loss, and how can you continue to garden or garden with sight loss? Or somebody's got arthritis, how do you garden? How do you get the best out of gardening? And so we've developed these particular guides and built on that over time. But one of the things that people were telling us was that there's so much information out there. Where do I start? Where do I begin? And, I also could do with a little bit of a prompt, a little bit of support, a little bit of motivation, a bit of encouragement to keep me going and to be able to bring that all into one place. So we decided to take that further in terms of bringing the information into a digital app that people can have on their phones. And so the app kind of brings into it the ability to create your own kind of plan, and you can bring together the guides, and you can schedule things in, you can get reminders, and then you can also track your kind of mood, and you can record reflections and notes in there as well. So it's all packaged in together alongside some really great advice and information about the benefits of gardening and how gardening can really help us and how spending time in nature can really help us. And so we've been really working on that over the last kind of 6 months to a year, and it launched in February, and we're just really excited to get it out there and find out more about how people are going to use it and then build on it as well.
So you set times, do you? You say that it gives you prompts. People wanted prompts to what, get out into the garden and do something or what?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, take the listening to the birds example that we had earlier, or going for a walk, or those sorts of things might be something that you could say. So you can program it and say, I'd like to do something on a Thursday, or I'd like to do something on a Saturday, and then it will plug in the activities that you choose. If you do something like sowing seeds, then it will give you prompts to when to check on it, when to water.
Those oh, brilliant. Yeah.
It can be alongside you as you're going through a process if you select an activity, that sort of thing as well. So it's really great gardening advice. It helps you to get started. It helps you, to have new ideas. If you've been doing it for a while, you're not sure, you want to try something different, it's a great way to look at, get some different ideas for getting in the garden. But it's got that sort of helpful kind of prompt and to encourage you to remind you as well to keep going with it.
Gosh, so it must be quite a weighty app then. There must be a lot of information in there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're drawing on the guides that we've got, and we're wanting to obviously build on that as well in time. You know, this is the kind of first version for us. We've been through a pilot stage, which we did alongside the University of Essex, who have supported us in kind of evaluating the benefits of it, evaluating, you know, the responses of those that went through the pilot stage. But we want to build on that, and we want to continue to expand it. So yeah, we see it's great. It's got lots of information there. It's a fantastic resource, but it's, yeah, we really see it as something that we can continue to build for people.
Oh, it does sound great. And you know, you talked about people who are losing their sight maybe and how they can continue gardening. Of course, you know, one of the things for anybody who has an issue with sight is the smells of a garden, you know, scented gardens. So presumably that sort of thing you talk about as well. So what plants smell beautifully and what plants don't, because not all plants do smell fantastic. Well, not all flowers do smell, I should say, smell fantastic.
No, well, I mean, there's a really lovely story from a lady called Fee on our website, and she tells her story. She was really with her husband, that she was really excited. She was moving from sort of rented accommodation to her first house with a sort of well-established and beautiful garden, and sadly at a similar time started to experience sight loss. And she tells her story of how actually the you know, the impact of the sight loss on her mental health, and how that kind of impacted her. But actually, with the support of the guides and the information, she was able to adapt her gardening and continue to, you know, to continue gardening and to engage with the garden in different ways. And it's really about that adaptation and how actually with the right guidance, the right advice, if people have got some kind of health condition or a disability, that they can adapt the gardening. It doesn't, you know, prevent people from being able to garden. It's just about changing it and adapting it. And Fee tells about how, you know, how the garden has been a real boost for her mental health, how it's been a real impact for her. So yeah, if that's connects with people, then do check out Fee's story, which is on our website.
Oh, that would be fantastic. And your website is thrive.org.uk. Yeah. So do go and check that out. That's fantastic. I mean, I do know, again, talking about my childhood, one of my abiding memories is the smell of chrysanthemums because my grandfather grew chrysanthemums. And I can't now smell not the flowers so much, but the leaves, just the whole smell of the plant or the smell of the whole plant. Just transports me back to my childhood and standing in my grandfather's garden because he had all these fabulous chrysanthemums. And, you know, a lot of people don't see the point of chrysanthemums. I know. But I think that's because I think they were a bit overdone at one point as a, you know, as the kind of flower that you found at service station garage kind of, you know, bouquets. And I think they were undervalued. After a while, but they are fabulous plants and they're very robust and of course very much part of Chinese folklore. I think they're quite lucky or something in China, aren't they? And that's another thing about gardening, the meaning of plants. And that's a completely other rabbit hole to go down though, I think, if we start going down that one. No, but things like that, you know, the smell of chrysanthemums, again, if you grow tomatoes, I don't eat tomatoes, but I adore the smell of them. There's something pungent about a tomato vine, and just rubbing the leaves is just beautiful to me. It again takes me back to my childhood. So, you know, you can kind of build these wonderful memories in a garden, can't you?
Yeah, well, I think so. I mean, plants go through seasons as well in terms of what's popular. I love this. I agree. I love the smell of tomatoes. You know, when you walk into a greenhouse and it's got tomatoes in the summer, they're just coming up to ripening, and it
Oh,
just sort
yeah.
of come through the door. But you're right, the textures of the leaves, the smells, they're powerful. And yes, there's that connection to memory. And for me, my grandfather's sweet peas, you know,
Oh.
that takes me back. And you know, I think it's building those connections, building that through the generations can be really really powerful. But you know, I think for us, we're looking at, you know, at the, you know, at our generation at this point in time, how do we you know, engage with the natural environment around us? How do we connect? How do we get involved in you know, make the most of our gardens? Because actually it's really good for us. And so, yeah, how can we do that? And the app is there to say, well, you know, to be a friend, to be a supporter along that journey to get gardening and to get the most out of it, and really to sort of encourage people to give it a go, you know, to get it downloaded and see what's there.
Yeah, because we've kind of lost that thread through families, haven't we? A lot of people just aren't teaching their children about gardens. It's not, gardening kind of went out of fashion, I think, in many areas. I know that we've consistently had, you know, the Royal Horticultural Society doing great work and other institutions. However, I think for a lot of people, gardening took a back seat over the last few decades, because I think they were busy doing other things. And that's a big shame, I think, because then we're losing that thread. So maybe this app will help us get that back again.
Yeah, well, really hope so. I mean, I think to, you know, in fairness, the pandemic did see people connecting in terms of engaging with their gardens.
Yeah.
People went out and bought seeds, didn't they? It was something that people could do. But I think there's a risk at this point in time that we, you know, there's lots about the pandemic that I really don't want to remember. You know,
yeah.
I was reading my book the other night, and it was just middle of a chapter, and it suddenly mentioned something about the pandemic, and I thought, oh no, it was a fictional book, and I thought, oh, you know, I don't want to remember any of that. But there were some elements to it which actually, you know, through the lockdowns, that were actually positive. And I think we're at a risk of actually going, you know, of forgetting some of those elements that were good for us. And, you know, people got outside, people bought seeds, people spent time with family. There was lots in there that actually there was some good to it. And actually, one of the things that was good to it was a recognition of the value of spending time outside. And I think we don't want to forget that or lose that again as a society.
No, that is true. That was one of the positives. There weren't that many, but that was one. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I think it's great. And I would thoroughly recommend that people give it a go, because I think it's such a great thing. I don't know what my life would have been without being able to garden, no matter where I was, you know, whether it was an acre plot or a south-facing patio, right, in the city. Or even just a windowsill. That's pretty much what I have right now, but it doesn't stop me gardening. I still have plants. I have plants in the house. And you can grow things like chilies, and you know, then there's some microgreens you can even grow, right, indoors. I don't know if your app looks at that sort of thing as well.
Yeah, I mean, microgreens is a really great one to be doing, because it's so, you know, you get such a quick response as well, and it's, you know, high success. So if you want something you can be really confident in that you can do on the windowsill, microgreens is a really nice way to do that. And, you know, yeah, you can enjoy them as well. So that's a nice.
You can indeed. Of course, when I was at school, one of the things we did at primary school was to grow cress on blotting paper, wet blotting paper.
Yeah,
which is growing microgreens is a little bit, you know, elevated from that, but it's the same kind of idea. You don't need a lot. No. You don't need a lot of gear. You don't need a lot of money. You can garden and grow food if that's what you want to do. And it's great. The great thing about microgreens, of course, is the nutritious value.
Yes. Yeah.
So, no, fantastic. Well, Ben, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to us about the app, which is Cultivating Wellbeing. And you can get that. Can you download that from your website? Is that right?
Yeah. So either from Google or Apple, you can download it there. But to get the link, you can get that via our website. And yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. So if you go on to Google Play Store or wherever, you can just put in Cultivating Wellbeing and it'll come up.
That's right. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, you know, good luck with that. I hope it goes down really well. I'm sure it will. And may it help many, many, many more people become great gardeners, no matter what they have, whether it's a windowsill or a huge plot somewhere in the countryside. But for now, Ben, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to us about it. I think it's great.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me. And I really hope that people enjoy it and get the best out of it. So.
I'm sure they will. Ben Thomas, the CEO of Thrive There. The website again is thrive.org.uk and you can download the app from Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Well, it's time to hear more messages from our sponsors right now, but we'll be back with more garden-related memories and herbal lore right after this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and we're indulging in a strong gardening theme today. Talking with Ben Thomas from Thrive took me back to my visit around this time last year to the wonderful garden of a friend of mine, the medical herbalist Keren Brines-McLean, otherwise known as the Garden Herbalist. It reminds me that gardening is not only therapeutic, but gardens are also places to grow therapeutic plants like herbs. Here's a reminder of some of the spring tonics we discussed after a very lovely lunch of foraged chanterelles with eggs on sourdough toast. We started off with the enlivening effect of rosemary, which was the first herb that we could see from Keren's then very new garden consulting room.
But yeah, so we could see the rosemary out of the door, and rosemary's a really good herb for this time of year, isn't it?
Let me have a smell. Absolutely, I'll let you have a sniff. It's a really, it is a really good herb to have in the middle of the afternoon, and if I'm ever in that sort of place, you know, it is that 3 o'clock lull that we can get, you know. Never do an after lunch talk because your audience is going to be sitting there dozing. But yeah, if you're in that sort of like, oh, I just feel a bit dull, a drop of rosemary essential oil on a hanky or just rub it in your hands and smell will just really waken you up. And it is a really invigorating and enlivening herb. Rosemary, we know of rosemary for remembrance.
Yeah.
And rosemary does really help with memory and focus and concentration. It works on dopamine pathways in the brain, so I find it really a key herb in working with people with ADHD or ADD, but also it's a really good circulatory herb, so really good for people with problems like fibromyalgia as well. So it drives blood through the muscles and really gets the circulation moving a little bit. So fantastic herb, and of course one that traditionally we've used for cooking, but actually I think it's just one of those, you know, a really potent medicine.
I love rosemary. Yeah, I agree with you. And not just for this afternoon slump when we might just be still digesting our chanterelles and eggs on beautiful sourdough toast.
Mm.
But also at this time of year when we're just all feeling a bit sluggish.
It is that, we need the spring. We're beginning to see those signs, you know. The yellow ball was in the sky today. The sun was out and you could see it on people's faces. People were, you know, a bit brighter, feeling cheerier. But we are at the end of the winter now and we need to feel the sap rising and that spring energy. So it is the low energy point of the year. So rosemary is a really good energetic tonic to use. You could also use herbs like sage or thyme. They're really aromatic. They really enliven us and waken us up. But there are a number of other herbs in a toolkit that we could be using to really give yourself a little bit of a pep up.
So what are the other things then that we should be looking to do right now to just prepare us for a little bit more of the springtime, you know, sap rising? What are the things that we should be looking for? I mean, I went out foraging. Well, I didn't actually go foraging the other day. I went out to have a look at my local wild garlic foraging spots the other day, and it's not quite up yet. But as soon as that grows another week or two, I'll be down there and I'll be picking some wild garlic.
And get harvesting that because, you know, we've just come through all the winter viruses.
Yeah.
And then we'll get the spring colds coming in. So it's a good idea to get some wild garlic and these antiseptic things on board because we are going to be out there probably circulating a little bit more in the springtime. So wild garlic would give you a really good immune boost. The other one to watch out for is cleavers because cleavers will, of course, support flushing of the lymphatic system, and nettle. And nettle is a fantastic tonic. Now, nettle seed you can use as a really good adaptogen for the adrenals, But Nettle Leaf, really lovely spring tonics, full of minerals, really good for your skin and your hair and your nails. And so those nettles will be starting to peek through reasonably soon, just at the back of wild garlic. So
yeah, they will.
I'd encourage people to get out and get some nettles into them. And it builds really good blood. It's, you know, good for anemia, low iron stores, etc. So yeah, really good pick me up.
Yeah, and watch out for them coming through, because when they're young, that's the time to pick them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're really tasty, you know, so you can pick them, make them into herbal teas, make them into soups, etc. Yeah, just don't eat them raw. You know, it's the one that you don't want to have raw. I have given people nettle soup before and they've sort of said, oh, it tastes a bit prickly. And it's like, no, once it's cooked, you're not going to have any prickles there. No, but it is a really nice
That's auto-suggestion. It doesn't taste prickly when you cook it. But it does, it tastes spinachy.
Yeah, I always describe it as gamey spinach. It's got that wild, a sort of wild spinach taste.
Yeah.
What it doesn't do though, I don't know how you find spinach. I always feel if I have a lot of spinach, I always find it's a bit astringent. My mouth is really dry afterwards.
I love spinach though. I do really adore it. But yes, I do know what you mean about that.
Yeah, it can be a bit drying. And of course, spinach has got quite a lot of acid in it as well, whereas nettle will actually get rid of acid out of your body. Yeah. And, you know, we in the winter, we tend to drink less fluids. You know, our kidneys just aren't working as efficiently through the winter months. So come the springtime, if you get things like nettles and cleavers on board, get those kidneys activated. And, you know, that really helps with energy as well. In Chinese medicine, they talk about all your energy coming from your kidney.
Yeah.
I think that probably refers partly to the adrenals, but also your kidneys are involved in your acid and alkali balance in the body. So making sure your kidneys are tip top should give you lots of good energy as well.
Something that I've always been aware of, I used to have a regular shiatsu. I haven't had one for a while. In fact, I'm going to book one very soon because I feel that would be a good way of getting myself prepped as well for you know, coming into the spring. But there would always be, you know, some work to be done on the energy lines that deal with your adrenals in my body. I mean, things like that are really good. Massage is really good as well.
Yeah,
just moving, shifting stuff.
Absolutely. I normally have a massage once a month. And, you know, I think a lot of people think, well, massage if you're active. Actually, massage if you're inactive. And that.
Yes, I think massage is possibly even more important if you're not as active. It helps to keep us supple, stops us from seizing up. And I know nettles aren't very welcome in most gardens, but they are tasty and they're so good for us, as well as good for wildlife. Maybe we should set aside a little corner for them if we have room in our gardens. But garden grown or in the wild, just remember to wear gloves when you pick the leaves. You can get in touch with Karen at thegardenherbalist.co.uk. She may be based in Scotland, but she does consult over Zoom and she'll send prescriptions by post within the UK. If you're outside the UK, she'll tell you what to buy so that you can source it yourself. That avoids any potential issues with international postage. And that just about wraps it up for today. Do head over to my website, thepracticalalchemist.uk, and drop me a line or tag me on my social media to let me know how your garden's doing. The common nettle has to be plant of the day today, but I do want to quickly mention another common plant, the daisy, which we'll be seeing popping up on our grass lawns from around now. Did you know that the common daisy used to be called bruisewort, and it's our UK native equivalent of arnica, which is an alpine plant. You can make a daisy-infused oil to apply to bruises and bumps just as you would use an arnica cream. I only learnt that recently. You know, every day's a health school day here. So good to know though, isn't it? Nettles and daisies. Two plants we usually treat as weeds in our gardens that deserve a little more respect, don't you think? Time to pack up now, though. Thank you for listening. Join me next time for more great guests, more information, and more practical alchemy. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.